Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So we're really light on announcements this week. Stars has been keeping their cards close to their chests, so we don't have a lot of new, exciting
series announcements
from Stars. I think all that we've got this week was a bunch of like Instagram photos from the cast of things they were doing.
There was the horseback riding.
Right, there was the horseback riding.
That's what I remember.
That's all I remember too. But I mean, that's pretty much all we got this week.
It's been kind of a light week, cast-wise and stars-wise. Although, I wouldn't necessarily include it under announcement, but I guess it is. It's a happening. Was it Thursday or Friday that the Outlander Stars webpage, as far as I know, they really haven't done much on their own Outlander webpage at Stars through Facebook. They put an opportunity for the fans to vote on the Outlander fan name.
Well, there's only one real choice.
Well, there's one choice that we both agree on, and from what I've read on Twitter, a lot of people agree with us. We'll wait and see what it ends up being. I have a... If you check... Actually, want to check the poll and see what the poll is reading as?
I can see. So the results of the... They're still going. It's not closed yet for the poll. But as predicted, the one we voted for is in the lead with 41%.
Mm-hmm. And what is that one on the lower right with 20-something percent?
That's our second choice.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, very good.
Yeah. Voting closes in 5 days, so if you want your voice to be heard, get on it.
And we just read on Outlander Addiction's Facebook page that there is a mailing address if any fans would like to send the goodies to the cast or crew. That address is Outlander Production Office, 3 Windford Road, that's WYNDFORD, Ward Park North, Cumbernauld, G68 0BA, Scotland. And again, this can be found on Outlander Addiction's Facebook page. That's a great little update.
Well, I think it's good information, and kudos to them for finding it.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Thank you, Outlander Addiction.
Agreed. So this weekend we went to the annual Dixon Scottish Games in Dixon, California. It was quite a to-do. It was a nice day. The weather was perfect.
It was beautiful.
It's a little warm in the sun at some points when the breezes weren't up, but we had a good time. I took my daughter. She had a great time. She kept calling. She kept saying, "I want to see the Scottish Games." And I was like, "They're all Scottish Games. Like, which one in particular would you want to see?" But I don't think we made it more than 10 steps into the fairgrounds, if you will, before this one over here literally finds a Scotsman.
Well, I found a Scotsman, which there weren't a ton, but there were, at any Scottish Games, you're going to most likely find a few. But no, within the first, barely getting in the front gate, we had our first interview. Totally unplanned, definitely unexpected, and definitely unplanned. But thanks to the technology on our smartphone, the recording capability, we did a quick, just under a 4-minute interview, I think, with some very kind gentlemen who were there at the games representing the American Friends of Erskine. They said it is roughly the equivalent of the American VA in Scotland. And without further ado, let's see what Mr. David Scott and Mr. Floyd Busby had to say.
This is Ginger with the Outlander podcast. We're here at the Dixon Highland Scottish Games. And just as we walked in the front gate, we've run into the American Friends of Erskine tent or booth. And we've met David Scott of the American Friends for Erskine. Hi, Mr. Scott.
Oh, hi there. Hi. Yeah, I'm the president of the American Friends of Erskine.
Oh, very nice.
We are the American offshoot of the big hospital in Scotland, which is the equivalent of the American VA.
Oh,
where
wow.
We are rehabbing our wounded Scottish warriors who are in Afghanistan, etc. And it's been going on since 1916. Queen Victoria's daughter, Princess Louise, took pity on the soldiers in 1914-18 war and decided to begin this thing in 1916, and we're still going strong.
Well, that's actually quite incredible. That's amazing. Do you know approximately when the American Friends, or say a branch, or the affiliation began here in the States?
We began 3 years ago, and 3 years ago, very low-key.
Sure.
But since that beginning, we've begun to take it out into the Scottish world, and obviously there are many, many people who are connected to Scotland in some way. We feel that it's a very simple thing to ask them to kick in a dollar or two. You know, it would really help, yeah.
Absolutely. And is there anything you'd like to say to fans of the Outlander series?
Well, the Outlander series, we've been anticipating it for a while. We think it's going to be pretty good. My colleague Floyd Busby here, who's also director of Erskine, he's been telling me it's going to be a knocker. So I'm looking forward to it.
Have you read the books, may I ask?
I have not read
you
the books.
You have not?
No,
oh.
No.
Do you plan on maybe remedying that?
Yeah, I may do that. Yeah, I'm sure once it's available, I'll be glued to it like everybody else.
I couldn't agree more. I think once it comes out, it's going to be even...
Right.
Bring more people along for the ride.
Well, if there's anything we can do to help you guys with Outlander, please contact us. You've got my card. And we'll be happy to help you like we did with Brave and Pixar.
Oh, well, again, that would be great. We will definitely pass that along.
Okay.
We don't have an affiliation, but all we'll right. put it out there on the podcast.
Sure.
And if Outlander stars, if you're listening, the American Friends of Erskine are happy to reach out again.
Yeah.
And Mr. Busby, did you want to say, also other director of the American Friends of Erskine?
Well, yes, American Friends of Erskine would be glad to help. And also Caledonian Club of San Francisco, which
Excellent.
We're both affiliated. We put on one of the world's largest Scottish gathering and games over the Labor Day weekend. And we, too, can help because we will have a certain amount of affiliation with Outlander in the greater Northern California area when it comes out in the way of promotion.
Well, that sounds amazing. And hopefully Outlander stars... hopefully stars, you are listening, and we'll get in touch with this lovely organization. Well, thank you both so much
for your
time.
My pleasure.
Our pleasure, too, and have a great day here at the Dixon Highland Scottish Games.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
They were so cute.
They were so sweet.
And their little kilts.
They're adorable. Yes, they were both in kilts.
Well, I just like that you started talking to them, first of all. Just for no good reason. And then all of a sudden, he talks back to her, and she reaches out towards him, and she goes, oh, you're really Scottish.
I didn't know. You see a booth or a tent, and their sign says American Friends of something, Erskine, but I didn't look past that, and I just thought it would be Americans, and he could be American. He could be naturalized. Yeah, when I... I forgot I did that.
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay. Again, they were very, very... nice to give us a little bit of their time. And I looked into the Erskine a little bit more just to second what Mr. Scott was saying. This is directly from the erskine.org.uk website. The devastation of the First World War highlighted the fact that there were insufficient hospital facilities to care for those who were wounded in battle. Thanks to the generosity of the people of Scotland, the first Erskine Hospital, then the Princess Louise Scottish Hospital for Limbless Sailors and Soldiers, was opened in October 1916. Of the many thousands of British veterans who were disabled in battle, one in five was treated at Erskine. Today, Erskine remains committed to looking after Scotland's ex-service and serving men and women for as long as the need is there.
So after our
impromptu, quick,
very, very impromptu interview. We still had not walked more than 20 feet into the games, and we still had a nice full day.
We did. There was so much going on, and they had, like, all of the games, of course. They had caber toss, I don't know, hammer throw, I think one of them was called.
I think so, yeah.
There's something else. Is the hammer throw the distance where they throw the rock, or is that the one where they throw the thing over their head? And... No, wait. The thing they throw over their head is, like, weight for height, where they have this, like, kettlebell-looking thing that they try to throw over, like a limbo bar. That's like 13 feet over their head.
I was thinking it reminded me of what they do in the Olympics where they...
Oh, the high jump?
The high jump, but they're not jumping over it. They're throwing
right, they're throwing a modified kettlebell, it looks like.
And me. It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny, ha-ha, but we watched a few events and we watched it from different vantage points because we were walking around so much. But we did get the chance to see... They said there was a male there... A man who was over 70.
Correct.
And he was trying to break a world record. And it was...
Spoiler alert, he did not break the world record. But he did try. We were all there for him. 13 feet. It was like
13 feet, 3 inches. And in order to break a record, you can't just go high, a little bit higher.
It has to be a full inch higher.
I literally said, that is harsh. So this gentleman, he gave it 2 good tries.
He had a third try, but I guess after 2, he was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to get this." So,
but he did very well.
On. Yeah, and I was surprised. No, I shouldn't have been surprised, but I didn't know that women competed in caber toss.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of women out there
tossing their cabers.
That doesn't sound right, but tossing cabers, and they were all in like, and every last one of them was in a kilt.
Yep, they were.
But on women, it just looks like a skirt.
Looks like a skirt, yeah.
A skirt. But I think most of the women, these were some big girls. Like, these were, I mean, they were of all shapes and sizes, but there were some big girls out there.
They were strong ladies.
Yes. But they were all wearing these kilts, and I think they all wore, like, shorts underneath them, though. I don't think the women do with kilts what men do with kilts.
Oh, I don't know about that either. But was there anything else we saw? Oh, the...
They also had, is it Shinty? Is that what it's called? Shinty?
You told me it was rugby.
Those are 2 different things.
I know, but you said they were playing rugby there.
They were playing rugby when we walked by, but in the morning they were playing, I believe it's called Shinty, which looks an awful lot like field hockey.
Oh, well, but I don't remember seeing that. But I remember them being something else, but I didn't see it. But no, the thing with the that looks like shot put.
Oh, it was like, that was like stone throw.
Okay.
I think it was like stone throw. But it was, they were literally like giant rocks. Like it wasn't like, it didn't actually look like a shot put, but they threw it like a shot put.
Yes.
But it was like giant river rocks.
It looked like a leather bag or a pod filled with who knows what, like a weight, like a leather weight ball.
I thought it was a rock.
Okay.
But it could have been, but to me it looked like a big rock.
But we were far away. We were not up close, but it was fun.
And they had food vendors. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say it was mostly, like, British food as opposed to Scottish food. Like, they didn't have a haggis mobile. They had bangers and mash. They had shepherd's pie. They had, I saw fish and chips, of course. And then they had a barbecue wagon, which I thought was a little out of place. But delicious, but not what I would think of when I think of, you know, British cuisine.
And a little bit of disclosure here. Ginger is a vegetarian, so...
And I don't eat bread. So we had to work together to make lunch happen.
So what did we do for lunch?
We got what was called the Banger Royale, which sounds weird when I say it out loud now, but basically it was like a hoagie roll with a banger in it. And a banger is, if you don't know, which I don't know why anyone wouldn't know what a banger is, but a banger is a, I believe, a pork sausage.
A good size sausage.
Yes. And then it was supposed to be covered with like grilled onions, but I asked for the Banger's Royale with the banger on the side and extra onions on the bun.
So it wasn't the healthiest meal. It's still, no. I mean, it was like
an onion sandwich
with mustard on it. Hey now, it was better than something fried, I guess. But it was okay. I'm sure the banger was pretty good.
I'm just, It was delicious.
Did the banger?
Oh, careful.
Did the banger bang? Like, she bangs, she bangs. It tastes really good.
It did not taste like Ricky Martin, no. I mean, it tasted like a pork sausage. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
But
okay, so then after or before, because I don't think we're going in any order here, what else did we do?
They had some startling cannons that went off at random intervals.
Yeah, they never told us. I mean, it could have been in the program that they were going to do it.
We did not buy a program, which is probably...
We didn't have a program.
Why we didn't know what was going on when. We just kind of wandered aimlessly.
We wandered like a wanderer.
But we did find the Clan Fraser clan. It was right by the front.
So after the interview... Actually, yes. After the interview, Summer and I parted ways, kind of inadvertently. I went in one direction.
It wasn't that inadvertent. My daughter's 5 years old and had no interest in listening to us interview anyone, so I had to take her off and look at things.
So when the interview was done, I didn't know where they had gone, so I turned back around and I just said, okay, you know what? I have my phone. I'll text her. She'll get back to me somehow. We're in one place. She has the car. She will not leave me. So I'll just head up toward the clan tents. And of course, I went to the Clan Fraser tent, and it was, I had barely gotten there and said hi, and I think the gentleman asked me, are you a Fraser, or are you part of Clan Fraser? And I said, no, I'm not, actually. We're a sept of a different clan. And he said, ah, so you're here for the books. And I went, oh, and I barely gotten a syllable out of my mouth. And he said, or you're looking for Jamie. And I'm like, I get it that...
Dude, like front and center on their clan tent, they had a bookshelf.
All the books.
With all the books on it.
And a lot of them had been signed by Diana Gabaldon.
I didn't even look at them.
Well, because I was there before you guys ended up meeting. Yeah. I ended up going back there with you guys again. But the daughter of the gentleman who was at the tent... She showed me some of the books and showed me the signatures, the autographs. And she said, we have more. I'm not sure where they're at. And then she realized that actually some of the ones that were signed were hers and they were at home. So anyway, apparently she had a lot of them that were autographed. Yeah. The gentleman said to me when I said, you know, I understand people, I understand the whole Jamie phenomenon. I understand He would be a very good find. I understand that. But no, I'm not looking for Jamie.
Well, honestly, the last place I would look for Jamie would be in 2013
Dixon.
At the Dixon May.
But the funny thing was, he literally said, I mean, I hope that people aren't serious when they ask him this. But he said he was totally serious that people come to the tent looking for Jamie. Now, I don't know if that's tongue-in-cheek.
Well, if I thought I would find him there.
Well, but we know better. So anyway, we looked around at other tents. We looked at some of the vendors, and they had some beautiful things. Is there anything I'm leaving out that we left out?
There was some excellent dancing. They had some Highland dancing, a competition going on. But mostly, I'm sure there were boys dancing too, but
I saw a little boy in a kilt.
Mm-hmm.
He was a dancer, but he was dancing around up front, but he was just messing around. We didn't actually see any males perform. But the one little boy I saw in his outfit, who was very cute, very sweet looking.
They also had a lot of live bands playing. Unfortunately, my daughter is not a huge fan of loud things, so we couldn't get too close to the musicians, but we got to enjoy them from afar. But they were dueling at certain points when all of the piping bands would kind of do their circuits. And as you can imagine, there were kilts everywhere. So many kilts.
A lot of kilts.
Young kilts, old kilts, middle-aged kilts.
Mm-hmm. Female kilts.
Lady kilts.
lady kilts. Yeah, there were a lot of kilts. It was nice to see.
There was a couple of women like dressed in more traditional like garb, if you will, from... Like
back in the day.
Yeah.
But whatever the day was.
All I thought was when I saw them was they look so like hot. Like it was a warm day.
It was a beautiful day.
It was like wool. They were wearing like wool dresses. And I'm like, oh, that's
I've been to games where they have a woman dresses as Mary Queen of Scots And it is, I mean, you can imagine what she wears. And it's usually like smack in the middle of either late August, early September, or sometime in the summer. It is, I could not imagine wearing something like that in 100 degree weather.
No, thank you. And because Pixar is located in Silicon Valley, which is not too far away from where the games took place, they had the horse that was the model for...
I'm not sure, but it was a beautiful horse.
That was a model for Angus, the character of Angus from Pixar's Brave, the Scottish movie Brave. Beautiful horses. They had two of them there. I believe the taller of the two was... Did they say her name was Lily? Her name was Lily? Maybe. I could be wrong. I could be making that up. But we're going to go with it. But a beautiful Clydesdale, you know, looked just like Angus from the movie. But it's very, like, calm.
Very sweet. Let, like, five or six people... Little kids to tall adults, let like 5 to 6 people at a time just like rub his head and his neck and just very gentle.
Well, if it's a he, then I can't call her Lily anymore, so.
I thought it was a male. It was much bigger than the other one. The other one had those blue eyes. Oh my gosh, that was gorgeous.
I officially don't know the name of the horse. So we'll just say beautiful black Clydesdale.
Was it black or brown?
It was black. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I thought it was brown.
You have a problem with colors.
Not really. But if I misremember, I misremember.
They were both black. They were both black horses, just like Angus.
Dark brown. Okay.
So wrong. Anywho. But I thought that was neat. They had those two Clydesdales there. Yeah. It was a nice connection. Because at first I was like, oh, Clydesdales, they're pretty.
Yeah, like, that's very cool. Because they have like, a livestock. There was a sheep dog competition or something that we didn't see. And we saw...
I didn't know where it was.
It was somewhere in the back, and I think we must have missed it. But they had the two horses, they had...
A cow.
A sheep dog, they had a cow.
It was supposed to be, and I don't remember what it was called.
A prize-winning cow?
It was like a Drexler,
Said. It was like, an Irish something.
I think they said it was, if I remember correctly, it was a Drexler. Or maybe it was Dexter. I think it was Dexter, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's like a small breed of cows that is, I think they said, they are believed to have originated in Ireland and imported into the United States in the early 20th century. So they are a close
relative,
I guess, of an Irish cow. So all in all, much fun was had at the Scottish Games in Dixon, California today. Apparently it's an annual event, so we look forward to maybe checking it out again next year. Mm-hmm. So we've been brainstorming over the last week of things that we as Outlander fans could do to help pass the time between now and, I believe, April is when it's scheduled to start showing on Stars, even though we don't have a definite start date yet. April is a nice generalization of how much time we have. And we thought a good way for definitely both of us and any of you who are interested in refamiliarizing yourself with the series before it starts would be... Or reading for the first time, this is true, would be to have a read-along. We discussed maybe, I mean, I've seen other people do like book clubs and things like that, and I really don't feel qualified to run or do anything like that with a book club, but I thought something less scholarly, if we did something that was a little more reading for fun and less like reading for like answering study questions.
Sure. I think it's great to have structure. I think it's great to have to be prepared and bring questions. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, we're not even saying that will not happen. But the general idea for the read-along, I think you're saying, is that it is for purely enjoyment of reading and a discussion.
Correct. I just don't want us to feel like it's we're in... English class.
Yeah, no pressure.
And we're being, you know, forced to do homework. I mean, the minute it becomes homework, I literally tune out.
If there are ever questions, I would not use the word study before the word question. It would be a discussion or something. But it would never be a question like, find this and answer it and tell us in as much detail as XYZ. No. It would be just to guide. I don't want to instruct or even come across as I'm trying to instruct people to look for certain things, especially those who have not read before. I want it to be their experience.
Agreed. And I think that reading in and of itself is such a personal experience anyway, mm-hmm. because the whole action of it goes on inside of your head while you're reading it. So I think that ideally this would be more like a coming together and sharing of experiencing mm-hmm. the book, if you will. So it's not so much structured and lecture-based mm-hmm. as it is, mm-hmm. you know, more organic and, hey, we're reading this, and I loved this, and this is great, and how do you think they can translate this?
That's exactly what we also discussed before we, I guess I should say off the air. Summer and I just barely touched on the fact that since this is being made into a series, that could also be a very interesting angle for a read-along. It won't take center stage. The story takes center stage. But we can't, you know, who are we kidding? This is for the purpose of preparing to watch a series on television. And so I think it's a normal part of the development of a discussion. Maybe not every, obviously not every page, not every chapter even maybe, but certain events, I can say... There's one in particular I know I can't wait till we get to. But certain events may lend themselves more easily, at least to one's imagination, to be translated to the screen. Other events, we may say, what the what? And just say, you know, you go for it, Stars. We are putting all our trust in you because, well, number one, we have to. But number two, it's, and this is not to give Stars any ideas. This is just our own mind's interpretation and thought on how something might occur.
Correct.
Or appear on screen.
So we've kind of broken it down, and I think we've got like 40...
There are 41 chapters in the book.
And how many weeks do we have till April?
Not 40. We looked at, if you just look at the first 3 months, if we don't count April and we just look at January, February, March, in general there are 4 weeks in a month. And if we did, excuse me, just for weeks, that would be 12 weeks. If you back up and you include November, December, that's 8 more weeks. That's 16 weeks. So 16 times 2 is 32. If we did a chapter a week, we wouldn't finish. Even if we started, you know, even earlier in October, it would still be too close. 32 plus 4 is 36. So what we thought would be a way to make sure we get through the book in time, as well as still maintain a gentle reading schedule,
right,
would be the plan, a plan of 2 chapters a week.
We're using the trade paperback version, and initially we were like, well, we could do it by pages, but because so many people read on so many different platforms mm-hmm. that it's hard to really match it by page numbers. Plus, if you end it on a chapter, yeah. it's always kind of at a resolution point. Because of how weather
or at a cliffhanger, as she many times does.
Yes, but like I said, we will be using a trade paperback. I may go back and forth between the trade paperback and my Kindle, but yes. I think as long as we stick to chapters, we should be okay. And the first 2 chapters, I think we looked ahead and are like,
in the trade paperback, they are 35 pages together. Starts on chapter 1, starts on page 35. Chapter 2 ends, excuse me, chapter 1 starts on page 1. Chapter 2 ends on page 35.
So, and that'll vary based on what edition you're reading. But, so this is going to be kind of, it looks like kind of a light week. As far as reading goes, 35 pages doesn't sound like that big of a deal.
It's not too bad.
But I think that going forward, having the extra weeks carry over from between 20 weeks worth of 2 chapter reading, and, you know, the 30-whatever weeks we actually have before the series is supposed to start airing would give us leeway to, if we have a big chapter coming up, maybe only doing 1 chapter that week.
And also, even though there are other options than this, but if, as we produce this show, it also gives us a little, the option at least, of a little bit of a padding room on either side. If for some reason we're not able to do a show 1 week due to a holiday or something comes up, if we don't have such a strict reading schedule, then we can still get through everything in time.
Right. But we'll always keep you abreast of if something happens, we have to take a week off.
We'll definitely share that. So once again, we are starting our read-along, and we invite those who have read it 100 times and those who have never read it to join us in reading the first 2 chapters so that we can discuss it in the next episode, episode number 6. And
which would tie in nicely to our audio account.
Absolutely.
With the option for listener feedback and audio comments. And those you could even record, you know, the week ahead if you've read the chapters and you had some things you wanted to discuss or you thought would be good to bring up. You know, we'd be happy to include them and share them in the upcoming podcast, which, you know, would be a great little thing that we could do, a little more listener participation.
Absolutely. We'd be very happy to include your audio comments in our discussion.
Trying to build a kind of a community, if you were.
Yeah, trying to build more of a community. I know there is already an Outlander fan community, but because it is so big, we are still a community of fans. Right. But for a while there, we were drawn together, the announcement of the series, the excitement of having Jamie announced, and our wait for Claire. We still have announcements. There will still have to be things coming out either from the stars, from the producers, from stars. So we're not saying nothing will ever come again, but that tightness, if you will, the kind of the community, the excitement is still there. If you've been watching now, if you were on Claire Watch, you can see it's already started to change a little bit. It's not gone away, but that next thing that's just around the corner, whether it's a week away or a month away, it's just a slight change in the feeling of it. And so we thought, what better way to continue that excitement would be to maybe have a read-along and bring as many who would be willing to come along with us together on that journey.
So are we going to have like a spoiler alert for every
goodness.
Every episode? If you haven't read this, why are you listening to this podcast? And second of all,
that is actually for myself, and I think for Summer, she can speak for herself. But part of the reason that I would like to be involved in a read-along is because it allows us, ultimately, of course not right away, but as we go, to not worry so much about giving away spoilers. Granted, on the discussion of chapters 1 and 2, we're not going to mention what we already know happens in chapter 33.
Well, I think ideally we'll try to stay focused on the material at hand.
Exactly.
You don't want to foreshadow too many things for the people who haven't read it. And plus, like, I know that I try to reread the books, you know, once a year or so, but I've slacked for a while. But just re-experiencing it and mm-hmm. seeing where things fall in, and you're like, oh, I thought this happened in a different place before. Mm-hmm. So I think the challenge will be to keep each book separated and really think of each book as a standalone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And again, I think it's an exciting way to focus discussion in general, but especially on a podcast like this, where we're here because of our love for the books, but and our excitement in waiting for the series. And as we said before, and we'll probably say again, once the series is here or they let out a few more gems, there's plenty to focus our attention on. And probably too much. We won't be able to discuss everything in a half an hour podcast. Maybe we will. We'll see what happens down the road. But until then, this is such a great way to stay on topic, if you will, and also to bring along others, to encourage others to do a reread if they haven't done one in a long time, and to encourage a lot of discussion.
So just to recap, read along, we're starting next week. So between whenever you listen to this podcast and whenever you listen to our next podcast, your assignment, if you choose to accept, is to read chapters 1 and 2 of the book 1 of the Outlander series.
And again, that's in any form you choose. I thought about this earlier. Maybe one little note. An audiobook is completely acceptable.
Absolutely. But the you do only, need to stop.
Well, yeah. Well, they can go on. They just have to know where it cuts off. If especially if they're going to give a comment or something like that, that they would like to be included in the show. The only thing about an audiobook, and they're actually what I prefer. Not that reading isn't good. I think reading is the best.
Reading is fundamental.
Yes. But because of my own schedule and commute and a lot of things I'm doing, if I only relied on having a paper or a Kindle in front of me, I would not get much pleasure reading done. I rely on my Audible app and on the one book a month that I've gotten, as I've said earlier, I think. I'm getting all of these little by little. I finished an Outlander reread in July or August, and again, I was amazed at what I had not remembered happened when or where. But the only thing I would say about an audiobook reread is that, number one, yes, nowhere to cut off, at least for discussion purposes, but also it's a little, you can go back if you have the Audible app, for example, you can click 30 seconds back. You can go back a little bit, but it can be difficult to go back to an exact spot. That's the only thing. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you want to reread a certain passage or re-listen to a certain passage, it might be a little more difficult to find that exact spot. Rather than say, oh, yeah, that's on page, the fifth paragraph on page 32. Now, I realize we're all using different editions, but I think the audiobook might be slightly more difficult to find an exact spot. But as far as listening and experiencing, it's, to me, one of the greatest ways to experience the book. Just keep in mind the chapter locations.
Good point. Good tip. That's about all the time we have for episode 5 of the Outlander podcast. Remember, we're starting our read-along, so by the time the next one comes out, I will expect all of you to have read chapters 1 and 2 of Outlander.
Yes, we look forward to your joining us on this new journey, new sub-journey. And thank you so much for listening. We look forward to our next podcast.
Thank you to our generous audio host, audioboom.com. Our Audioboom channel is www.audioboom.com/channel/Outlander Pod. Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at Outlander Pod. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Outlander Pod or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com. Last night, that my young